This is Mo.
Welcome to Unapologetically Messy.
Word.
Hi, thanks for hanging with us today. If you're new here, we're two grieving sisters here to talk about life, death, and everything in between. If you're joining us again, thank you and welcome back. Just a reminder, you can always listen to us on the Podbean app, but you can also find us on most streaming services.
If you would do us a huge favor, rate, follow, like, and share. It would allow us to be able to share this message and help others. We are spreading the word through social media, so give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram.
We have a doozy of a show for you today, folks.
When don't we have a doozy?
Well, last week was such a doozy that we didn't even get to our topic, so.
Yeah, that really was.
It was a
doozy.
A doozy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last week's topic was myths and misconceptions with grief.
Yeah.
So we will cover that today along with your usual nonsense.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because we always say yeah after we say yeah.
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 How you doing, Steph?
I think I'm okay.
Tomorrow's Easter.
It is Easter. Hoppy Easter.
Hoppy Easter.
Yeah.
Hopefully our listeners will be spending time with their families. We'll be spending time together.
Yes, we will be.
Missing Dad.
For sure.
Been a hard week.
Yeah.
But we can always count on Bunny and her bunny years.
Oh, Bunny.
Bunny.
She's the best bunny year round.
This is her holiday, man.
It is. Yeah. She had a bunny shirt on yesterday, even.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't she cute? Timu?
Probably. I don't know. It's Temu.
Oh, Temu. Sorry. I will never say it right.
I won't either.
Neither will America. I mean, it's just...
No, it's Temu.
Yeah.
But it's whatever.
What look like Temu shipments are going to be, like, altered because of the bridge collapse now, so.
Oh, no. Breaking news right here. Kate, you might want to just hold off on that order for a little bit.
Shipping could be altered.
Altered.
That was horrible.
That was horrible. That was really, really sad.
I mean, it looked like a stack of cards, like something created and just flattened. I don't even have words.
I don't either.
It looks like something you'd have seen out of a movie, not in real life.
I don't know how they're ever going to fix that.
I'm terrified of bridges. Terrified. It started at a young age. And this bridge here, the Martin Luther King? What
here is, in town?
Yeah, what is
that? That bridge?
No, just listen. When I was a little girl,
yeah.
That was so scary to me. And I would make my grandma promise that she wasn't going to go over it. And she was like, it's okay, honey. You can just close your eyes and I'll tell you when we're over. And I would close my eyes and she'd tell me to open them at the top. It traumatized me. I'm really scared of bridges. Like, I will stop, get out, make somebody else drive to go over them. Like, especially now, forget it.
What in the world?
I have a lot of issues.
Okay, if I'm crossing the Atlantic Ocean, that's scary. But if I'm crossing a tiny little creek, I don't anticipate.
It's not even a creek. It's a train track. But
well, either way, I don't anticipate falling off it.
I don't know, like, what the deal is.
So it's your grandma's fault that you have a problem?
I'm going to say so, yeah. And so I don't have a problem with that one now because they redid it and it's not as scary as it was when I was little.
Yeah.
But the one over by Rite Aid, like, if you take Trenton West.
That one took.
Yeah, I don't like that one. I'm scared somebody's going to come alongside me and push me off the edge. I know that there's guards there, but I'm convinced I'm going. Well, I'm just not a good driver. I'm not.
Well, at least you admit it.
Oh, anywho.
Wow. That escalated quickly.
It did. It's the days of the week.
And we already talked about it.
We did, but we need... This is a side note real quick before I forget, you know, menopause brain. We need, like, an opener for our days of the week now, you know?
Oh, we should create a jingle.
Yeah,
it's...
The days of the week.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I love it. This is perfect.
Do not save that.
It is saved.
No.
In the archives.
I think that needs to go in a messy mess up folder.
So we've established... Oh, let's tell them about the messy mess ups.
Oh, man. It's not good.
So with every show we do, we have a folder where we dump all the...
Screw ups.
Yeah. So we labeled them messy mess ups. So we have quite a few messy mess ups.
There's actually two folders now.
Yep. We'll have to share them soon, I think.
Or not.
Some of them aren't appropriate to share.
Yeah. We're going to be limited as to what we can share. Might have to post a link to a different website to share those. Yeah.
Okay. Anywho, so we established that tomorrow's Easter.
It is Easter. You know what? I have something for you, Mindy.
What?
What do rabbits say before they eat?
I don't know.
Let us pray.
Gosh. Speaking of pray, you all better pray for me. April 1st. Best day ever.
No, wait. I got another one. You can't just hop along to April 1st. When I have funny Easter jokes. Season 2, messier than ever. Okay, what do you get when you cross a bunny with an onion?
I give up.
A bunion.
I was going to say that, but it sounded too stupid in my head.
Okay.
I thought, well, that surely can't be the answer.
No, it's a bunion.
Okay.
Okay, I only have one more. How does the Easter Bunny keep his fur? Like, how does it
How does the Easter Bunny
keep his fur looking so good?
He combs his hair.
Hairspray.
Hairspray. I was close on that one.
Hairspray.
You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah. Okay, these were not April Fool's Day jokes. But anyways, yeah, Mindy is right. April Fool's Day. Next day after that.
Love this day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything you want to say about it?
Did you ever wonder where April Fool's Day came from?
No, not really, but since you mention it now, I do.
Well, surprise, joke's on you. Nobody seems to know.
There is something wrong with you.
Although I did read that some historians have, like, they found some clues that might lead up to finding it out. So there was like this Roman festival of Hilaria where people would come together and they would like celebrate the resurrection of this god or goddess, and they would dress up in disguises and imitate each other.
What? For April Fools.
This is literally no joke.
I love it.
But, yeah, because I was like, where did April Fool's Day come from? Yeah.
Wow, that's some interesting information.
Mm-hmm.
What was the best joke you ever did?
It was kind of mean, but when I was in college and I was driving Mom's Taurus, I called her and I told her that somebody had flattened somebody had put holes in all the tires.
Oh my gosh.
She lost her shit.
I bet she did.
Yeah. And so then I think after she had a heart attack, I was like, April Fools.
That's so rotten.
That is. And then the sprayer on the sink, I taped that.
Oh yeah.
I used to tape that. So then when you turn the faucet on, it just sprayed right at you.
Right. I had some doozies.
Yeah?
Yeah. We know it's Aunt Scooter's birthday.
Yes.
April 1st. So yes. This was a long time ago. I was probably like in junior high, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I called her and told her that I was stranded at the mall and Mom left me and I was crying. She was like, I'll be there. And I was like, April Fools, happy birthday. I mean, I was like 13 probably. I thought that was hilarious.
And you probably thought that was the funniest thing. And then she was like, shit.
It's not funny.
It's not funny at all.
And then a few years back, oh my gosh, a few years back, like 20 years back probably.
Well, we don't have to say 20. We can just say
a few years back. Mitch and I we're coming back to town, like, well, to Fostoria, I believe, from Columbus, and told my mom and my stepdad that we bought a, like, one of those Sprinter vans, you know, like, man, I can't remember what it was called that we said. It was like a big, like a bus, basically. And we were
what
like,
in the world?
We got such a good deal on it. Because I just knew that they would just be like, that's the stupidest thing that you could have possibly done. And so then I called them and I was like, oh my gosh, you have to help us. We're stranded at Wendy's. I'm not sure what to do. So can you come and get us? And so we have these huge signs made out that said April Fools. And we were standing on the corner of County Line with these signs, April Fools, when they drove by, and they just kept driving. Yeah. Didn't even come back. They were so mad.
I probably would have just kept on driving too and pretend that I didn't even know who you were.
We were so proud of ourselves, though. We were like, that is so funny.
You don't work.
We were like, what could we do that was really good? And we were like, oh, spend our money on something ridiculous.
Right.
But what, just a
white van with no windows. And a bag of candy.
Basically, but it was like a gigantic van bus-ish. Then they saw us, and they just, I could see them saying, don't even look at them. Don't even look at them.
Jenny was pissed.
Yeah, not happy.
All right. April 2nd.
Peanut butter jelly day. Peanut butter jelly day. Peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly on Moe's canary yellow pants.
Oh, right. Get yourself a PB&J and sit on it if you want.
Yep. All right. So, found out peanut butter debuted in 1883 in Chicago World Fair. It was mainly sold in fancy tea rooms up until the early 1900s because, you know, obviously it was a big thing.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah. So then this home cooker woman, Julia, came up with the first PB&J and put it in a Boston cooking magazine.
God bless her.
Yeah. And then, along the timeline in the 1980s, Melinda sat on many PB&Js while wearing canary yellow pants.
Now, it wasn't just me, remember?
Well, I just contributed.
There was a team of us. Yes. Okay,
I contributed to you. Also, side note, your birthday is coming up, and I hope you have a pair of yellow canary pants. Because
oh, my gosh.
Might be a birthday cake of peanut butter and jelly. Okay, April 4th.
April 3rd. Let's not skip a day.
Oh, I got excited.
Oh, my gosh. You have no hope. Speaking of hope, April 3rd's National Day of Hope. It takes place each year during National Child Abuse Prevention Month, the first Wednesday in April set aside to ask the country to make a lifelong commitment to joining the fight to end childhood abuse and neglect.
I thought this was a very good one, and actually, it's not one of those just submitted national days.
Right,
it's an actual, like,
something to reflect on and make a difference.
The government, made this possible. Okay, now April 4th.
Okay.
National School Librarian Day. And it's not together, but I just liked it.
National Burrito Day.
National Burrito Day.
They could be together, but you wouldn't be very quiet in the library.
No, and that librarian would be pissed if you're eating a burrito. So, fun fact, the word burrito first appeared, this is real, the Dictionary of Mexicanisms.
It is not a real thing.
Bull crap.
Really?
I looked it up.
Wow.
That was not on no, like, but that was back in the 1800s. The central region of Mexico uses the term burrito actually means little donkey in Spanish.
What?
So they say that it's possible that it stems from the appearance of, like, packs and bedrolls on donkeys. That carry them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it looks like a burrito. But then it didn't come to the United States till like the 1930s. But
I'm never going to look at a burrito the same.
Happy Little Donkey Day.
You go to Taco Bell, I would like a little donkey with cheese.
I wonder if they would do that.
They would be like, excuse me?
Yeah, they're teenagers. Never mind. Yeah. Okay.
April 5th, National Dandelions Day.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know dandelions are very good for you?
They actually are.
Mm-hmm. And a delicacy in some areas.
You can eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very high in vitamins A, B, and C, and D. They were used by Native Americans for kidney disease, swelling, and skin problems.
So, dandelions are also known as wet the bed. So, it refers to an old belief that just touching a dandelion can cause bedwetting. So, it may be tied to the fact that dandelions have been used as a diuretic.
That's crazy.
So, no wonder why. Like, you know, little kids go out and play, and then I used to rub them all over my cheeks because I thought that was, you know...
Oh, we ate them. We did all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, no wonder why I piss my pants all the time. I don't have an excuse for it now because I sure shit don't color my face with dandelions, but...
And we did. Mama had a baby and his head popped off.
Yeah.
How horrible.
It is
horrible. Ever think about the things we said as kids? Like,
it's really not good.
We talk about that all the time. Like the old lady that swallowed the spider. And I mean, all the nursery rhymes just demented. Yeah, demented.
The old, like the old lady who lived in the shoe with all the kids. Why did we make fun of old ladies?
Yeah, we made fun of old ladies a lot. And Rock-a-bye Baby?
Yeah. Oh.
Anyways.
Poor Jack and Jill. He fell down the hill, cracked his head. I mean.
Humpty Dumpty.
He cracked his head. Oh, yeah, he cracked himself too. He cracked himself
too, yeah. Anyways, eat a Twinkie, you'll feel better.
Yeah, because on April 6th, it's National Twinkie Day. So, fun fact on this one. The inspiration for the snack came from a billboard in Los Angeles. For shoes called Twinkle Toes. I don't know how they got a cream-filled thing out of that, but anyways.
It was originally filled with banana cream.
Yeah, but during World War II, there was a shortage of bananas, so they started using vanilla cream.
Wow.
And this. Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
Weird. Bizarre case in 1978 where this guy killed a mayor... and another guy, and used the infamous Twinkie defense, insisting that eating Twinkies and candy bars had altered his mind, making him temporarily insane and prompting him to shoot the victims.
What?
I just think he had a horrible case of diabetes.
Sugar rush?
Yeah.
It's called a sugar rush. What the heck?
And
did he win?
Oh, I don't know.
We're going to have to find out.
Okay, we need to look up the Twinkie defense.
And side note, I would prefer the banana Twinkie.
I think it'd be good.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Can we go to the store?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll be back.
On with the show.
Okay. We can't wait for you to get to know us, but we're only going to tell you a little bit each week.
And how are we going to do that, Steph?
The question jar.
Question jar. Woo! Woo! Okay, it's a little bittersweet right now because this is our last official question jar. We figure that you have been tortured enough with learning us, getting to know us.
I'm not sure how much more there is to know.
I mean, there's plenty, but we need to keep it under wraps.
Yeah. Right. Okay, yeah. Not radio appropriate.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So today's the last question jar. I'm going to ask you. Okay. What's a memory of us that always makes you smile?
Okay, so there's a lot of memories. However, one in particular that makes me just laugh and smile at the same time. We were in your toaster driving down to Rascal Flats in Columbus, and somehow... we ended up, like, driving through this cornfield.
We get lost or some kind of detour?
I don't know what happened, but you were, like, you were driving. I had my feet propped up, like, on the dash, and you're like, I think we're in a cornfield. And I'm like, yep, I don't think this looks like a road.
That was a fun night.
That was hilarious. And then we took a picture where we parked because it, like, wasn't even parking. I don't know.
So that we could try to remember where we parked?
Yes. But then
we couldn't find it at all?
Yeah.
It was horrible. I wish Uber was around back then.
It was It was a great time.
That was fun.
I'll just always remember driving through a cornfield thinking, I don't think this is like a road. I think this is really
not real.
Field. And we just ruined a field.
We did crop circles. They were calling the authorities.
Yeah. Well, you did mention earlier that you are not the best driver.
So this is true.
It just verifies facts that, like, 15 years ago, she couldn't drive then either.
It's a fact. It's a fact. I'm sorry. Those were some good times.
Those were good times.
Oh, good old question jar.
All right, Mo.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If our friendship, sistership, was a movie.
Sistership. That's cute.
Don't anybody take it. I trademark it now.
Okay.
If it was a movie, what genre would it be and who would play us?
What genre? I don't even think they make a genre that we would fit in.
Probably not.
I mean, would it be, I guess, comedy? It'd have to be comedy. Dark comedy.
For sure.
A dark comedy.
Pretty screwed up comedy. Yes.
Ooh, it'd have to be, like, people that banter good off of each other, like, Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Oh! And, like Adam Sandler and David Spade, like they just work together good, uh-huh. Like, yeah, that.
That just throw blows. And
yes.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
That'd be a heck of a movie, though.
Oh, man. We would be, like, the Titanic version on VHS with two tapes required.
For sure.
Because it would be so many up and downs.
It would. It'd be a lot of messy mess ups.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I really don't know where my brain is today. I apologize. Just be kind and rewind.
There's your question jar. May it rest in peace. But now, yet again, it's my favorite time of the show.
Tell me what you got.
Tell me what you got.
Tell me what you got.
What you got, Steph?
So, Dad was, like, very much into his birds and squirrels, and, you know, he was always out there messing with them and feeding them, whatever.
Yeah.
So, just a man, basically, who loved being outside. So, do you remember the weeks leading up to his passing, all of the cardinals like, surrounded the house? Even walking up to Mom and Dad on the patio. On the
patio, yeah. Like, sure do.
It weird.
I mean, they were, like, there was families of them. It was
swarms.
Mm-hmm.
So bizarre.
I sure do.
So, ever since his passing, and as weird as it sounds, I've been, like, so drawn and obsessed with birds.
It's not weird. I so get it.
Yeah. So, like, even after he died, I was like, I'm gonna go fill his feeders because, I don't know, it made me feel better.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was probably, like, me coping. So, I keep feeders out my front window so I can just, like, watch them, and then I feel like Dad's there with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know some people believe in the whole symbolism with birds, and some people don't, whatever. I do. So, I, like, did some checking, you know, to, like, I looked further into it.
Uh-huh.
So, it's interesting because a cardinal is seen as a divine messenger carrying wisdom and insight to guide us through life's journeys. So, and there's a lot of different, like, the Native Americans believe certain things, and, like a Celtic religion or whatever it is believe other things. And then there's Christians who believe, you know, others. So, basically, cardinals are thought to signify an angelic presence, also signal it's time for renewal, fresh starts, and embracing life. The color of cardinals was linked to the blood of Christ and his sacrifice, so thus seeing a cardinal was considered a blessing from God.
Wow.
Which I didn't know that.
No.
So, we've also been talking about the number 3. So the number 3 is a very symbolic number. Mm-hmm. And so my boys, Colin and Jameson, ironically enough, are playing baseball right now. Colin's number is 3 and Jameson's number 33. Mm-hmm. So we have 333. And you and mom and me are always like, oh, here, you know, here's, it's 333. Yeah. And yeah, we just always coordinate it with that.
And our texts sometimes are time stamped 333. It's just,
it's weird.
It's weird. Yeah.
So then with the whole bird thing, I saw there was something mentioned that if you see 3 cardinals together, their presence represents a trinity of guidance, protection, and love.
Wow.
So it's like even more symbolic if there's 3 cardinals together.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and it says that their combined energy intensifies a spiritual message that they would bring.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And I know, like you said, there's many people that everybody's going to have different opinions. And mm-hmm. in all honesty, when you're grieving, there may be some things that you cling to more. Mm-hmm. But if it brings you comfort, then that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, we were all on the same page with this because you couldn't deny what was surrounding us. It was just, it was very peculiar. I mean, prior to Dad passing, anytime you'd see a cardinal mm-hmm. in life, you would say, oh, it, you know, it's a loved one or,
yeah,
you know, so it's not like we were just making something up, you know.
But it was like when you'd go out back, there'd be like flocks, families of cardinals sitting up on the power lines or on the flagpole or it was just like so weird.
Yeah.
And even I think it was the morning that Dad went into hospice, Mom sent a picture of their little like garden flag out back right by the patio and there was a cardinal on it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it was like the angels are coming for him and I don't know.
We all felt it. Mm-hmm. It was very strong.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, it was a comforting thing. Mm-hmm. As scary as the time was, we knew that it was coming and it was so comforting.
Yeah. So I think that's why I'm so drawn to watching cardinals and just some birds in general, because I'm like, I feel like it's...
It brings you close to him.
Yeah. I feel like maybe it's not Dad, but it's like those birds that were there when Dad was getting ready to pass over. And
yeah.
It was, yeah, it's...
He was obsessed with his birds and his critters. And I just remember telling him, Dad, if you ever come back and come back as a squirrel, I promise I'll shoot you.
Like, just don't give Mom the BB gun because she'll think it doesn't work.
She'll get it for sure. Yeah. Sure shot Kate. But he loved those stupid squirrels and he knew how much I hated them. And they just terrified me. I know. But I was like, please, whatever you do, if they give you an option, don't pick squirrel. I don't know how it works there. Don't know what happens, but...
He's probably one of those when you're walking down the sidewalk and then it's like... Comes like flashing around the tree and it's like...
like, fuck. The psycho squirrel.
Yes! Yeah. It's tail going, Dad, is that you? Oh my God, they really will call the police on us.
So my what you got kind of goes hand in hand with yours. I was going to talk about the number things as well because it's just so crazy how it's been all over the place this week. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I was scrolling through TikTok mm-hmm. and I thought I caught a video of it, but I didn't, unfortunately. But you know how we've been talking about Lil Jon a lot lately?
Okay.
Okay. So as I scrolled to the next video, it said, okay. And it was Lil Jon. And up across the top said 111. Just randomly. 111.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. So weird. And then like the other day, I told you I looked up Colin's stats to see how he did in baseball. And the kid above him said 333. And I mean, it's just they call them angel numbers or spirit numbers. They're mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just nuts. It's like somebody's trying to talk to us.
Been seeing, yeah, a lot lately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you guys look up anything spirituality related to numbers, it's bizarre. It really is. It's something.
It's so interesting. Like, when Miles was born, we have always said his lucky number was 3, which is so weird with all of this, but he was born on 311 mm-hmm. at 1109 in room 1103 or 311.
Really?
Yeah. Like, we have it all written down, but it was like all the same numbers, repeated. And his weight was the same with the numbers. And
yeah.
It was so weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Well,
those are some interesting tell me what you got. I didn't have like a whole lot to say, but I'm glad that you.
Yeah.
You had more than me.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I win at this game.
Okay. So on with our topic.
Yes.
Hello. Are we interrupting you?
Back to our scheduled program. So sorry.
Okay. So grief. Common myths and misconceptions. So we have a few bullet points listed. The first one being that grief has a timeline. Horseshit.
It is.
Yeah.
There is no timeline. One of the most prevalent myths about grief is that it follows a predictable timeline and that there is a quote-unquote right amount of time to grieve, when in reality, grief is highly individualized and there's no set timeline for how long it should last. We both know that.
Absolutely.
Dad's been gone almost 10 months now, and man.
Some days it feels like you're starting over at the beginning, and we'll get to this part. You know what? We can just skip to this part. The stages of grief and the Elizabeth Kübler-Ross
mm-hmm.
stages. Very comforting and fantastic information and helpful. However, not true for everybody.
Mm-mm.
So basically saying that grief follows a specific pattern of stages, such as denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. That not saying that it doesn't in some people, and it could, but for others.
I mean, it can go, you could experience them, but not necessarily in that order.
Right.
Or you could just be angry and depressed, and then it could take 5 years to finally accept what's happening, or...
That's very true.
It's, yeah.
In my situation, I feel like I've experienced 2 or 3 at once.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also tell you that I feel like I suppressed a great deal of all of those stages when my mom died, because the focus was then on Dad, and...
You didn't have time to grieve.
I didn't have time to grieve. And I just shut that part of myself off.
Mm-hmm.
So when Dad died, it was like I lost them both together. Like,
That's very true for you. Because, I mean, realistically, they weren't very... What was it? A year and a half?
Yeah.
Apart, basically? Yeah. So...
Felt super close. A year and a half doesn't seem like a long... Like, seems like a long time, but it felt like it was boom, boom. I mean...
Yeah. Because it was like, yeah, your mom died, and then 6 months later, Dad's, like, starting to go downhill, and...
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, the stages, we're not saying are a myth or a misconception, however, don't feel like you have to fit into those categories. Also, what's the one we just skipped over?
Grief should be kept private. Some people believe that expressing grief openly is a sign of weakness, and it should be kept private. So, for us, we share our grief because that helps us try to heal. And we're trying to help others who are also grieving to be just listening to us and either our advice or our madness.
Or knowing that what you're feeling is real and that you're not alone. And that it's okay to laugh and it's okay to cry. It's okay to be mad. You don't have to keep things private. We do at home in our own home lives, mm-hmm. I would say. And mm-hmm. that brings a lot of our group texts into play. But our home lives is busy.
Yeah.
You know, you're ushering kids around, you're getting things done, you're putting on a brave face. But in our group texts, we can be weak. And in our podcast, we can be weak.
Yeah. That's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to... it's hard to vent at home because you don't like you said, you have to put on a brave face. You got to get this done. You got to do this. And you don't want to break down in front of everybody at home. So we break down with each other because yeah. we know.
But in the same sense, it should be okay. You lost your dad. Mm-hmm. I lost my dad. I lost my mom. It should be okay for us. But I feel like there's a rush. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's for us or others, you know?
I agree.
Which takes us to grief should be gotten over quickly.
Nope. Still struggling.
Know what I struggle with? He's in a better place. I know he's in a better place. I know she's in a better place. I know that. Mm-hmm. Wholeheartedly know that my parents are with the Lord. And I know that there is something amazing happening there. But I'm selfish because the better place is here with me.
Well, we're human. And yeah. that's human nature, is to be right. selfish. And it's very hard to...
And that's where faith comes in.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I think dad's better off than we are.
Mm-hmm. He is.
He's happy. He has no pain. He's got that smile and the, you know.
I do think about that a lot, though. I really do. Like, yeah. And the fact that both of my parents were so, what's the word I want to use? Unable to use their bodies before they passed. Like, to know that they just have full range of everything, mm-hmm. you know.
They can do whatever they want now, mm-hmm. and they're happy, and they're smiling, and... So, yeah, the misconception that individuals should get over grief quickly and return to normal is not... You can't. It's a very complex process, and it takes time. And I've mentioned this before, but it's like, you know, I was off when Dad passed. You know, I was off for, like, 2 weeks. I went back to work for, like, a month, 6 weeks, and I just broke down. I couldn't do it mm-hmm. because it was like everything hit me all over again. And so I had to take a month off because I was not doing well.
Yeah.
And I still have my days.
You were very lucky to have an employer that was understanding, because that doesn't happen a lot, unfortunately. Absolutely. And the U.S. is very guilty mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say before you said that, like, gosh, don't even get me started on the restrictions that they put on grieving in the workplace, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's like, grandpa dies. You can have 2 or 3 days off.
You can have 2 days. Or, like, when my husband would lose a parent-in-law. Mm-hmm. It's not losing a parent, technically. Well, yes, it is.
Yeah. It should be treated as if it's a parent.
Yeah.
I agree.
Regardless, nobody knows your relationship with that person.
And they shouldn't put a time frame.
Right. Whether you lose a grandparent, whether you lose mm-hmm. a parent, it shouldn't be X amount or X amount. You know, you don't know. What if my grandma raised me?
Right.
I don't know. I could just go on a rampage here.
Yeah, that one could be a...
open-ended.
Yeah.
Grief only occurs after the death of a loved one. We talked about this in season one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did. While the death of the loved one is a common trigger for grief, it's not it's not just death that you grieve. You can grieve end of a relationship. You can grieve the loss of a job. You can grieve a life change. Like, just...
100%.
Look at kids. Okay, yeah. So if they go from one school to another, they're leaving their friends here and going there. That's a huge life change. So mm-hmm. you have to think, they're kind of grieving that loss in their own way. Right. It's hard.
Yeah. When I first got sick, I had to grieve my old life and my old body and my old friendships. Mm-hmm. Because those things didn't remain anymore. I couldn't do things that I was physically able to do before. And it happened so quick. So I fully, fully believe that grief can be any part of your life.
Absolutely.
Everyone grieves the same way.
Nope.
Sorry. Who came up with these people are just asinine. Grief ends after the funeral or memorial service.
No. I mean, you know, the funeral and memorials, they can provide closure and stuff. which
I think grief begins after the memorial service because you are on high alert. You're on do mode, right?
Right.
You are doing, you are, there were many times that I didn't even have tears in my eyes because I was going about the motions. I did everything that needed to be done. It was business, right? Mm-hmm. Afterwards, boom, waterworks.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, it was like that. It was, you know, with Dad. Dad died and it was like, go to the funeral home the next day. Got to get this order. What songs are we going to, you know, what songs are going to memorialize him? We need to get pictures. They want pictures for a slideshow at the funeral home. It's, you got your huge to-do list.
You're busy. People are coming. They're keeping you, quote unquote, entertained.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like once they're buried or cremated, it's, that's when it just smacks you in the face.
Yes. I think we only have a couple left here. They're not even worth talking about, to be honest. Grief should be avoided or suppressed. Time heals all wounds, all false, all myths, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Only you can decide what is right for you. Hopefully you have a good support system around you, like we do,
mm-hmm.
that allows you to talk when you need to talk. Even if many times with the three of us, if one of us is, like this week, for example, you made a tribute video of Dad. It sucker punched me. I mean, like literally kicked me in the face. And I could not. It was an ugly cry. It was an ugly cry. But it was the best video because it showed every side of him. His soft side, his funny side. It just was perfect. But I think that you thought in my silence that I was upset. I know you did because I know how your brain works.
Yeah.
You did. Right.
I did. I was like, I'm sorry if I offended you guys, but I made it because I was having such a hard day the day before and I was just missing him.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started looking through all the videos in my phone and I'm like, I just want to see them all in one.
Together.
And that's how I remember him. And it just, I sobbed. Mm-hmm. I sobbed making it. But then at the end, I was like, you know, he made us who we are. And I think we're stronger women because of him. We have our weaknesses, but it's because of him that we're getting through this. And, you know, even if you guys listening don't have a support system, we're here for you.
Absolutely.
Don't feel like you don't have anybody out there because there are people going through this and we're going through this. And you can send us a message. You can, even if it's just, you send us a heart and an instant message, you know.
Anytime.
We're here all the time. And this is what we do. And this is how we're trying to spread our message. And yeah, we have our goofy moments on here. But sometimes that's just how you cope with things. And mm-hmm.
We try hard.
We do.
And I do want to make a side note. Dealing with both the deaths that I went through, they were 100% completely different. Dealing with my mom, I didn't have this. I was an only child. I was by mm-hmm. myself. It was just me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain to you how much it sucked. So this, when all of this happened, just changed everything. Do you know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. You were there for me. My husband was there for me. My son was there for me. You know, my stepmom, everybody. But it's not the same as having someone that's right there directly in it with you. It was just me.
And that's my heart breaks for you in that aspect. Because at that time, I've never lost a parent. So yeah. I could be there for you as your sister, but I don't understand everything that you're going through.
Right. And you did a great job. I mean, I couldn't have done it without you. But it made going through this with Dad, with all of you together, so much easier. Because I know some people will say, there were a lot of people that said to me, having too many cooks in the kitchen complicates things,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because with Mom, I did do it my way. I did everything I wanted to do my way. But if I had the choice, I wouldn't want to do any of that.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was...
It's all on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just putting that out there and saying the fact that, you know, things haven't always been hunky-dory and perfect. You know, there are lacks of support in other situations, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. what I'm saying.
It's okay.
It's got me all mixed up.
Grief is messy.
It is messy.
It's a messy, messy time.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Steph.
Thank you.
Well, are you ready to wrap it up for the day?
I think so. We
covered a lot.
Yeah. I'm tired.
Me too. We're old. Everybody have a wonderful Easter. Thanks for tuning in.
Remember, life is messy.
But it's in the mess where we find our true selves.
Until next time, keep living unapologetically.